Have you ever wondered why, when looking at life, when going through life, you are to treat people the way that you are, the way that you're supposed to? You ever wondered why Christians take such a strong stand against abortion? You ever wondered why, when somebody comes to the end of their life, you should preserve life as best you can? You ever wondered why, when you're driving down the road and somebody does something you don't like, your response shouldn't be anger toward them? Have you ever wondered why? We are to live in such a way that we're different than the people around us. And there's really one particular answer as to why you should do all of those things. And it becomes even bigger than just the things mentioned. It's why you speak kindly to people. It's why you don't disrespect people. It's why you care about people. It's why you share the gospel with people. What makes every person worthy of that? It really comes down to the Latin phrase Imago Dei, which stands for the image of God. So we're going to start back in the same passage that we were at last week. Just as a reminder, this is Matthew chapter 22, verses 34 to 40. But when the Pharisees heard that Jesus silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together, and one of them, a lawyer, asked a question to test him. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? And Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Why? Why? He continues, on these two commandments depend all the law and all the prophets. Last week we made a joke about the lawyer being the problem in this story, and I didn't get a call from any of the lawyers, so they must not have listened to the sermon. That's okay. They can listen now. The second is like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But why? Because that person, regardless of who that person is, was created, Imago Dei, in the image of God. Not in the image of their parents, though they're like their parents. Not in the likeness of things fashioned on the earth, though they are in the likeness of things fashioned on the earth. But in the very image of God. And before we even go forward talking about others in the image of God, we've got to stop for just a moment and be self-reflective. If, on a logical level, every person around you is created in the image of God, what does that say about you? You are created in the image of God. We've got to start there, not with some ethereal, abstract, bodiless picture or mindset of being created in the image of God, but a real fundamental understanding that I, as a person, was created by God in His image for value. You, every one of you, was created by God in His image for value. And we usually forget, or frequently we forget, this last one. We say, we were created by God in His image, and I'm just worthless. Broken, yes. Let's not mistake the two. Broken and valueless are not the same. When my car broke down, it did not become valueless. It just required fixing. But we have a tendency to, as soon as we're broken, to of ourselves first say, now I am of no value, for I am broken. And that is absolutely 100% a lie from Satan. A truth in that you're broken. Sinful people we are, and we are broken. Lacking value, no, we are not. Because we are created imago Dei. You and I, every one of us sitting in this room, created in the image of God. You and I and every person you've ever met, created in the image of God. You and I and every person in the world, in the history or future of the world, was created imago Dei, in the image of God. And if we first don't understand that reality of who we are, then we go through life thinking we're just trash and garbage and it doesn't really matter. But you're not, and it does. Genesis chapter 1. A right understanding of what God had done instills in us a right understanding of who we are. Not an inflated understanding of who we are. That is not what we are saying. But a right understanding of who we are. Genesis 1:26, then God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the sea, or over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man, people, in his image. And in the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. God started his story of redemption of people by stating that we were created in his image. Male and female, with no distinction. In his image. Like him. Not completely like him, but somewhat like him. And when we understand that God made that in us, we can understand better the value of the life that he's given us. We can understand better the value of the life that he's put around us, so that we can see and engage with those lives in such a way that the gospel can be shared, because that person was created in God's image. And that's what gives value to that person. Now, on an ethical level, in this world, that's why you don't take the life of somebody through abortion, through murder, through euthanasia. You don't do it. Because that life has value. Now, I've had this conversation with a few of you before. What then do you do? How is it right to unplug a person who's dying? That is not the topic for the morning, but it has to be addressed. Because when you stop a machine from keeping a person alive, it's different than going out to intentionally end a life. That person's life, hooked up to a machine, their body is trying to die. And that's sad. And that's hard. But that's what their body is trying to do. And when there comes a point where we can no longer fix it, then we need to allow that process to go on. At certain points, in certain ways, taken on a case by case by case by case scenario. As Christians, we don't have any problem with where we've gone so far. We don't have any problem with saying, no, abortion is wrong because that baby was created in the image of God. So it's a life. A life that has a soul. We don't have any problem at the end saying, no, this person, they may be broken down. Their body may not function like it did. They might not be as smart as they once were. Their brain might not function as quickly, but they're still created in the image of God. We do well on the bookends, but it's the pages in the middle that we really struggle with. Because we treat people. I'm on Facebook. I don't write much, but I look. I'm a stalker. I don't think the creeper, stalker. I'm one of those. And I see what my friends, my Christian friends, put out there about people who disagree with them. There's not a whole lot of, hey, you're created in the image of God and I love you because of that. And there's more of, you're dumb. I can't believe you could be so whatever. In the middle, during the life portions, that's where we don't treat people like they were created in the image of God. We focused on the unborn babies because we should. We focused on the end of life because we should. We've ignored the middle at our own peril. Because all of the people, the 7 billion or whatever are on the earth right now, every single one of them was created imago Dei with the exact same intrinsic value as you and me. Whether they're good Christian people living in Algona, or whether they're prostitutes living somewhere, or part of the Taliban, or the white supremacists. It doesn't matter. That person, regardless of how base and defiled and wrong you could create them to be in your own mind, was created imago Dei, still is imago Dei, still is in the image of God. And it's because of that that they deserve to hear the gospel. Maybe deserve is the wrong word, because that gives the idea of entitlement, that we all are entitled to hearing the gospel. But let's step back from that. That person being in the image of God doesn't make them deserve it. It imputs on us the need to share the gospel with them. The command to share the gospel with them. The demand to share the gospel with them. Because that person created in the image of God is destined for eternity without him, short of his gospel. So it doesn't matter, really, how much you dislike them. It doesn't matter, really, how much they've offended you. It doesn't matter, really, anything about them, because it's not about them. It's about God's image put on them. That no matter how hard they've tried to ruin, they cannot get rid of. It's there, innately put in us, unscrubbable. So we share the gospel. Because of God's image on them. Sort of like loving our neighbor here is because we love God first. When we love God first, then naturally it follows that we love our neighbors around us because we love him more than anything else. Here, we're sharing the gospel because it's God's image on that soul. Not my like or dislike of their personality. Not my like or dislike of the way they dress. Not my like or dislike of the tattoos or lack of tattoos that they have. Not my like or dislike at all of anything. My likes and dislikes are not relevant to the value of that person, to the need of that person to hear and accept and know and follow the gospel. Because that person, from the nicest person you've met to the worst person you've met, from the nicest person that exists to the worst person that exists, was created in the image of God and still holds the imago Dei on them. Broken as they are, yet still with the value of God's image put on them. And if we can get our brains around that idea, that truth, life changes. Because it answers all those why questions we brought up at the beginning. Why do we do this? Why do we do that? Why do we not do this? Why do we not do that? Because of the image of God. Ultimately, that's the answer for every relational everything in the world. is a right understanding of the image of God on me and on them. And when I understand that, I can understand His grace. When I understand that, I can understand His mercy. When I understand that, I can understand all that He is, all that He does, and I can extend grace and mercy. I can extend forgiveness to that person because they are in His image, and I'm doing it to Him, not to them. Take us back again to the whole idea of whatever you do to the least of these brothers of mine, you do to me. Same thing. However you treat this person created in His image is how you treat him. And if we treat this person who's lowly and destitute and we maybe don't like, however we treat them is how we treat Christ Himself. Because His image is on that person. And we treat or don't treat a person based on His image. And if His image is stamped on every single living person, then we treat them with respect and with dignity, with love, with honor. We care about the state of their soul more than the state of their lives. And we seek to and go out of our way to help them. That's how you interact with the image of God. We all have those people who drive us crazy. You all might be looking at one right now. I understand that. I get that. But the way you treat those people around you that are the least comfortable to be with all stems from your image, your understanding of the image of God. And if you have a poor understanding of the image of God and the people around you, you'll treat them like garbage, like they don't matter. Have you ever been overwhelmed driving down an even remotely busy interstate? Imagining to yourself the complexity of the lives around you. Maybe you have, maybe you haven't. But every once in a while, I get to a place where there's lots of cars, and I'm like, oh, the traffic, it's frustrating. I live in Iowa for a reason. And then all of a sudden, it hits me. There are at least one person in every vehicle. There is at least one person in every vehicle. And they have a soul that's in the image of God, and their life is just as complex as mine is, and there's millions of cars. Especially if you're going that way on an interstate, look at the cars coming this way, and just think to yourself, there's five lives just as complex as mine. There's five more, there's 10 more, there's 100 more. All of a sudden, we've passed hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of cars holding hundreds and hundreds and thousands of people, all created in the image of God, most of whom don't know and haven't believed and haven't accepted the free salvation Jesus gives. And I become overwhelmed by it at points, recognizing how much there is out there that I forget about, because my life has a tendency to consist of me and my family and maybe our neighbors, because that's where I see people the most. I have a church family, and it consists of them, and we interact, and we do things, but that is an incredibly small number of people. I'm not saying that you should try to interact with all those millions of people out there you're driving past. There are people who try to interact with all of those people, right? Nobody likes them. I'm not saying to do that. I'm just saying let your brain, let your heart recognize what's out there. And then when we step back and we see a room full of people created in God's image, we can say, you know what? There's not one of these people that isn't created in His image and isn't valuable because of it. Now, we're doubly made in God's image. Did you know that? Did you know that if you and I have put our faith in Jesus, now note there's a big if in there, if you and I have put our faith in Jesus, we are doubly created in His image. In one sense, we are created in His image because we were created by Him. In a second sense, if you go to Ephesians chapter 4, verses 22 to 24, Paul writes to put off your old self, which belong to your former manner of life and is corrupt through its deceitful desires, and be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. So put off your old self, which is broken, and now put on the new self, which is being renewed into the likeness of God, doubly in his likeness. Now you really, really don't have a reason to say you can't get along with a fellow believer. You really, really don't have a reason to go after them or speak badly about them, to be rude to them, to be mean to them, because they were created in God's image because they're human, and they're created in God's image because they're believers. And if the image of God is enough in just the one sense to say that person is worthy of respect and honor and care, now in being doubly in his image, what are they worth? They're worth, as Paul writes in Philippians chapter 2, they're worth more than you. And in that, what you're saying is the people around me are worth more than I am. So I choose their desires over mine, their needs over mine. And we all do that. That's not a professional Christian pastor role. Just so we're clear, there's no professional Christians. This is a role for believers, a role for people, for us to interact with each other in such a way that it says, not only will I treat you with respect and honor and dignity because you're created in the image of God, not only do I want to share the gospel with you because you're created in the image of God, but now you've trusted the gospel, you're doubly created in the image of God. Now I will go out of my way to show you the kind of love that no one else shows, the kind of care that no one else shows, the kind of respect, the kind of honor. I will show the kind of selflessness that elevates you, not trying to elevate myself. That's an in the family of believers interplay with that. But where we struggle the most, and by we, I don't mean Christians in general, though maybe that's true, where our body has admittedly struggled the hardest is in taking the message of the gospel to the dying images of God around us. Being willing, of sorts, to say we don't care about whether his image dies. We don't care about whether his image lives. We don't care what happens to his image as long as I get what I want. As long as I feel comfortable. As long as I feel good. Then I don't care about what happens to his image. And friends, as we are called to love our neighbors, if as neighbors is plural, called your community, then that is an unacceptable position. More than unacceptable, it's really untenable. You cannot hold it. It's impossible. Unless you misunderstand God. And I'm not saying that you can't be wrong and have been interacting with it wrong. That's not what I mean, because you can be. But in knowing the truth, you cannot say, I don't care. Because not caring about the least of the people around you, not caring about those who are dying, not caring about those who are in need, not caring about those who God has intentionally put in your path, says to Jesus, I saw you naked and hungry and thirsty and in prison, and I didn't care. I just went my way because I didn't want to be inconvenienced by you, Lord. Does that sound ridiculous? Just imagine a person you really, really like, maybe somebody you've never met. They show up somewhere at a park that you're at. Do you go out of your way to get stuff in their way and make it hard for them? Or do you go out of your way to make it easy? Do you go out of your way to be kind? I go out of my way to make it nice for the people I really like? And that's pretty normal amongst people in general. When you're really mad at somebody or you really don't like them, sometimes in your own selfishness, you go out of your way to make it hard for them. I know this because we're people. But that is wrong. And making the mistake is wrong. Intentionally living that life is a whole different level. So now we stand here looking at the scriptures saying, that person around me who doesn't know Jesus was created in God's image. That homosexual person was created in God's image. That transgender person was created in God's image. That murderer, that thief, that person who cut you off on the road was created in God's image. And just as much as you. Except for as believers, we're doubly created that way. Doubly made that way. And that doesn't demean or bring down what God's image stamped on every person is. It is only to elevate the kind of redemptive work that he's done in people. And that's where we stand. So the question really is, if people are created in God's image, and if those people created in God's image need the gospel, do you care enough about God to bring it to them? Do you? Because to say yes and live out no sounds an awful lot like a parable that Jesus gave. Father has two sons. He asks them both to work the field. One says, no, I'm going to do my own thing. He goes away and he comes back and does it. The other says, yes, I'll do it. And he walks away. And they were both wrong. So to say, yes, I care enough about him to do that and not be willing to do it is sin. So ask yourself the honest question, am I willing to share the gospel with the dying images of God around me? And if the answer is yes, then ask God to show you who and when and where, and to then have to for him to give you the strength to do it. Because if you ask him for an opportunity to obey him, he'll give you an opportunity to obey him, likely or possibly at the most inconvenient time for you. But an opportunity nonetheless. Are you willing to follow him in that way because you care enough about who he is as his image is stamped on the people around you? Or do you really care more just about yourself? That's the question. My prayer for you, my prayer for me, is that I and we care enough about those people to share the gospel with them so that they can be followers of Jesus. Not so that we can get more people at our church, not so that we can be happy with what we're doing, not so that we can meet some unmeasurable goal, but so those people would be part of God's eternal kingdom of life. Let's pray. God, we come to you this morning knowing that we've had opportunities and sometimes we've succeeded and sometimes we've failed in following you. We pray, Father, that you would be honored in us as we move forward seeking to see your image around us, seeking to follow you in that way. God, we ask that you would give us opportunities to share your gospel with those images of you around us, and that we would then have the strength to do it. We love you, and it's in your name we pray. Amen.